Mr. Dave Hall.
If you will, please turn over to Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 23, And I want to read in chapter 23, verses 28 through 31. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore, and breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry?" This is a hard scripture to understand what it was saying. But you know, Luke wrote this book, this gospel, and Luke said that he has a perfect understanding on everything that he was giving to us here in the gospel. So there's got to be a meaning for what Jesus Christ was saying here when he said, "For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry?" So what I'd like to do today is study that scripture and find out what is Luke saying to us, what is Jesus Christ trying to convey to us, and what can it be, what meaning can it have in our daily lives today? So first of all, I'd like for you to turn back to the beginning of the chapter, of chapter 23, and in verse 1 we see that the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. Now them is referring back to the elders, the chief priests and the scribes and all those who had it in for Jesus Christ and wanted to see him killed. So here in chapter 23, we see that the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nations and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And of course, Pilate had to check him out to find out what's going on here. Is this guy preaching sedition or whatever? And then he learns later on that, I think it's in verse 6, he says, "When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean." And of course, the answer was yes. And right away, Pilate thought he could wash his hands clean of this. Well, this is Herod's jurisdiction, so he sent him off to Herod. Then down in verse 9, we read, "Then he questioned him," speaking of Herod. "Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing." Jesus answered him nothing. "And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate." Now, when he got back to Pilate, we see that in verse 13, that Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, he said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who has misled the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I find no fault in this man." This is the second time that Pilate had found no fault in Jesus and wanted to release him. But then down in verse 18, and he said, "And they all cried out at once, saying, 'Away with this man, and release us to us Barabbas,'" who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion and made in the city and for murder. "And Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus," in verse 20, "again called out to them, but they shouted and saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.'" And then in verse 22, "Then he said to them, 'The third time,' Pilate said to them, 'Why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore release him and let him go.' But they were insistent and demanded with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave the sentence that it should be as they had requested." And at the end of that verse, at the end of verse 25, it says, "But he delivered Jesus to their will." Now as they led him away, in verse 26, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon of a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of people followed him, and women also who mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed, the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry?" Luke was very specific in this chapter, giving us much detail about what was happening that brought Jesus to this point to where he finally turned back to the women who were mourning for him. And he gave his final lament, a lament that meant that they were going to have their day of visitation also, and that there would be a time when they too would cry out for the mountains to fall on them and for the hills to cover them. In Jesus' lament, we see that in verse 28 that he talks about the daughters of Jerusalem. And then, of course, it talks about them, do not weep for me. And then, but what did Jesus mean when he gets down into verse 31? For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry? And how can we apply this lament in our daily lives? From these scriptures, we will learn what Jesus meant in his final lament to the daughters of Jerusalem and just how applicable it is in our lives today. First, let's begin to read our Lord's final lament to the daughters of Jerusalem, which I just did. But I want to finish up with the part where he said, For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry? Jesus was addressed to the daughters of Jerusalem. That's another term. That term can be used for also the children of Israel, and it can also be used for spiritual Israelites. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And in Luke chapter 19, reading in verse 41. Luke 19, beginning in verse 41. Now as he drew near to the city, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you especially in this your day, the things that make for you peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. This is the warning that Jesus gave to them. And in his final lament, he was telling them again that the days of visitation were coming for him. This warning was his final lament to the daughters of Israel, but it was also a final lament to the house of Israel, and it can also be a lament to us and to the people of the world, the people who are hearing the broadcast today, the people who are hearing about the gospel, the good news. It can be a lament to them and even a final lament. The spiritual Israel are God's people, the seed of Abraham, those who are called and chosen now. The days are coming. That's another thing that Jesus said. The days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. The days are coming is referring to that time of visitation. Turn with me, if you will, also to Hosea. In Hosea chapter 10, reading in verse 8, also the high places of Avon, the sin of Israel shall be destroyed. The thorn and thistle shall grow on their altars. They shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall upon us. We read that again, those same words over and over throughout the scriptures. But again, it's quoted in the book of Revelation in chapter 6, in verses 16, of the same thing. For the people will cry out for the mountains to fall upon them, for the day of visitation, the Lord's day, the great day of tribulation, the great day of the Lord, when his judgment is brought upon the earth, will begin. And people won't be able to face that judgment. And because they won't be able to face that judgment, they will cry out, let the mountains fall upon us, let the hills cover us. But what did Jesus mean, though, when he said greenwood versus dry? What did he mean? Well, the New King James Version says, for if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry? So I checked another version, and I went to the New Living Version. And the New Living Version says, if these things are done to me, the living tree, what will happen to you, the dry one? If these things are done to me, the living tree, what will happen to you, the dry tree? In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, we read, for the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Do you see the similarities there? Do you see that similarities are that the time has come, that our visitation is now? And are we considered a living tree with Jesus Christ and the world around us is the dry? and that we are calling out to them through the broadcast, through the telecast, through the Comcast, through every means of media. We're crying out to the world to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I see the similarity there in these two scriptures. The New Living Translation also says, for 1 Peter 4:17, it says, "For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news." We are the world's hope. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms chapter 1. We see that we are a tree. And we see that as if we are in Christ and Christ is in us, then we are a green tree like he is. Psalms chapter 1 says, in verse 3, "He shall be like a tree," talking about the man who is a follower of God, who delights in the law of God, and who meditates on it day and night. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its seasons, whose leaf also shall not wither." We are that green tree if we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Turn with me now, if you will, back to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, in first verse, in the verse 1, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches." And then in verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." Jesus Christ expects us to be green like he is green. He mentions to us, down in verse 18 of chapter 15 of John, he says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." And then, of course, over in verse 30, he says, "Remember the words that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." When you go back and you read what what Herod and his and the scribes and the Pharisees were saying unto them, and mocking him and accusing him and despising him and beating on him. And then, of course, the Roman soldiers did the same thing. And then when the women mourned, Jesus turned to them and he gave them his final lament. He suffered quietly. And it is really something if we could be able to suffer for Jesus Christ that same way. And I know there's some in the past in history who have. And maybe there'll be some in the future. Maybe some of us who are sitting here. Are you going to be a green tree like Jesus Christ? A day of visitation is coming. What will be our final lament to our families and friends? Oh, I know we're praying, "Come, Lord Jesus, come," and we should be, and seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus also tells us that they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by all nations for his name's sake. Remember what our Jesus said, "If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. But he who endures to the end, he shall be saved." For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry? If these things are done to me, the living tree, what will happen to you, the dry one? And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news?